Morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I just want to add my very warm welcome. Especially if it's your first time here. Today's Bible reading, and also if you don't have a paper copy of the Bible and you would like one, then do raise your hands and one of our host team will get to you. And today's Bible reading is from Psalm 119. Verse 1 to 16. Before we begin, let me pray. Dear gracious Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you teach us who you are, Lord, in your word. I pray that you would please soften our hearts and help us to listen. Lord, please help us to see what it looks like to live as your people under your word. I pray for CP, Lord, to help him preach faithfully and truthfully from your word. I pray this and ask that you would give us ears to listen. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With your whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is God's word.
Thanks, Abby, for reading the Bible for us. Good morning, church. I am Srinath Chitravelu Puchan, if you haven't met me before, or you can call me CP. During the week, I'm a full-time Bible college student, and I study at Queensland Theological College, which is at Spring Hills, and also have the privilege to be a student minister here at CPE Church. I'm having the best time of my life. Because I get to enjoy God's word on a full-time basis, and that's been one of the best things during this time of my life. If you are someone joining for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. We are glad you're here, and I hope and I pray that you get to know more about God today, especially his word, the Bible. So, church, have you ever wondered, what is my relationship with God's word, that is the Bible? Is it a delightful one, the one that we talked about? What do we delight in? Do we approach it with delight, or does it feel like a slog, or another chore that we do during the day? Or is it a neglected relationship? Today, let me invite you all to Psalm 119, where we see that the blessed people of God are those who delight in God's word. That leads them to delightful worship and praise. A bit of a context about the psalm. The whole Bible is one big story of God redeeming his people from their sin and death to eternal life through his Son. That is God redeeming his people from sin through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is split into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament covers the life of God's people before Jesus, and the New Testament starts from the life or the biography of Jesus. The Psalms are located in the Old Testament. and are collections of songs and poetry of God's people writing to express their awe, their dependence, their delight, and experience of being God's chosen people. And this psalm, Psalm 119, is a literature masterpiece. And it's the longest psalm, right? And it's about God's word. The psalmist writes 22 paragraphs, eight verses each, and all eight verses of each paragraph start with one Hebrew alphabet. For instance, the first eight starts with the alphabet Aleph. You can see the headline there. The second one, Bet, and so on. And guess how many alphabets are there in Hebrew literature? 22. So, what the psalmist is showing is the all-encompassing nature of God's word over all our lives as he exhausts every alphabet to explain it. Today we are looking in the first 16 verses. And before we dig into the psalm, let's ask God for guidance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your help and your guidance to understand your word. Let your word sink into the depths of our hearts. May the Holy Spirit help us to savor it. Help us to delight in your word and respond by bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. The psalmist begins the psalm by painting a beautiful picture of a blessed people of God. It's like you're up for a long ride, and then you see a billboard before entering the town which says, "Blessed are those, keep reading to know more." Can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the blessed people of God. So keep your Bibles open, please, and come with me to verse 1 to 4. Our first point, the way of the blessed. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong and follow his ways. You have laid down your precepts. They are to be fully obeyed. So, what are the features of the blessed people of God? How do you identify them? Or what makes them blessed? Their ways are blameless. They walk according to God's word. They keep God's commandments or statutes and seek God with every fiber of their being, that is, with all their heart. They do no wrong, perfectly follow God's way, and fully obey God's words. So, God's blessed people are those who are on a constant action of walking on the way that God's word shows them. It's not a standstill life. It's a walk on the way of God's words. They follow God's word as if nothing else matters. Perfectly, blamelessly, with all of their heart. So God's word is the only delight of their heart. So, church, as God's blessed people, does our Christian walk look like the description of the blessed ones here? If we were to imagine this blessed version of ourselves that we ought to be as God's people, who perfectly walks and delights in God's words, how close do you think it is from the reality? If you ask me, I am really way off from it. See, I really struggle to read God's word, let alone delight in it or perfectly follow it. See, this is how I process in my head. So when it comes to Bible reading, my personal Bible reading, I say, oh, God's word is important and it needs undivided attention. Okay, so what I'll do is finish off all my tasks so that I don't hold them in my head And yes, and then I'll read my Bible. It's like I'm hosting this special guest for 5 minutes, and the house looks like this. Or more like this. So what I do, I take all the clothes from the couch, stuff it in the cupboard, I kick all the toys under the TV, do a quick wipe, and then I open the door. It's like, ah, come in. And once the guest is gone, slam the door again, and life is mess again. Or sometimes, I don't even open the door for God's word to come in, because I'm just busy cleaning, or even comfortable in the mess. Friends, we are always busy, and life is messy. The word of God is never supposed to be a visiting guest into our lives, rather the main resident of our hearts. We need to pause and let God's word in. The word of God needs to meet us into the messes of our lives and transform, heal, and renew our hearts and put us on the way of the blessed ones. And the truth is, we are definitely not there yet. Not even close. Our lives don't look like that of God's blessed people. Well, the psalmist is with you on this. He feels the same way. And he longs to be the blessed one of God. Come, let's look into this longing together. Our next point, the longing of the blessed. Come with me to verse 5 onwards. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. The psalmist knows he's not there yet. So he fixes his eyes at the Blessed One to be like the Blessed One and really longs for it. Like a child lost in the crowd, the psalmist screams, God, where are you? I am lost. I have wandered off. I long to be with you. Do not forsake me. Similarly, when our lives don't look like that of God's blessed people, do we long for it? Does our longings look like the longings of God's blessed people? To delight in His word. Church, what do you long for the most? What is the longing of your heart today? Does your longing for God's word reflect the walks and decisions that we make in our lives? For instance, are we willing to sleep early so that we can spend some time in God's word in the morning? Or are we willing to say no to that extra shift so that we can attend youth group or life group or church on Sunday to be in God's word with God's people? Or do we feel scared or ashamed to be spotted with the Bible at your workplace or at uni or school? We are not there yet. And we need to long as the psalmist longs, to stay on the way of God's word. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying God's words. Sometimes longing for God and His words is not the problem. Sometimes the problem is we long for too many things. And there are so many other worldly ways that distracts us or even makes us long for them. This leads to the next point, the divided heart of the blessed. The psalmist starts the next session with this question, how can one stay on the way of God's word when there are so many distractions? And he has an answer for us. Come with me to verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity or stay on the way of God's word? The answer, by living according to your word alone. We can stay on the way of God's word alone through complete devotion to it. Yes, there are many distractions, but the root cause is a divided heart that longs for too many things along with the word in the mix. Friends, half-heartedness is a dangerous territory. It is enough for the world to suck us into its ways. And it all comes back to you cannot serve God and the world at the same time. We have a saying, and I found out that even Chinese proverbs have this, that don't put your legs on two different boats. They will drift in different ways, and the result is going to be devastating. See, we can't long for God's word and then also long for every Instagram travel destination. We can't long for God's word and at the same time long for that man or the woman which is not your spouse. We can't long for God's word and at the same time long for the second or the third or the fourth property on earth. We can't long for God's word and at the same time long for that perfect car or that perfect makeover. We can't long for God and long for that perfect career or dating partner or even ask our kids to long for them. We cannot long for God and at the same time long for others' approval, honor and respect and glory for ourselves. It is going to be catastrophic. Because when we long for these other ways, it extinguishes our desire for God and His word. And all of these things lead to death. Only an undivided heart that longs for God leads to eternal life. We long for too many things. We want everything on earth and in heaven. A divided heart leads to a standstill or a neglected relationship with God and His words. Church, we need help. We need help to stay on the way of God's word. And we can't do this by ourselves. We need to ask God for help. Like how the psalmist does from verse 10 to 12. Come with me. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise to the Lord. Praise to you, God, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Dear brothers and sisters, our God is gracious. He's a gracious God and He did send help 2,000 years ago. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The psalmist here could only dream of being this vague picture of a blessed man or blessed one. But Jesus achieves that for us. He was blameless, perfectly walked according to God's word. The word in the flesh, and we have a God that walked His own words. A true example, so that now we fix our eyes on Him. Jesus, the true blessed one. Let me show that to you. When He was asked by the high priest before His crucifixion in Mark 14, He was asked, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus says, "I am." And He is seated at the right hand of God, and we will see Him come on the clouds of heaven. Jesus is the true Blessed One. And His only desire was the Father's glory. And His only longing was to fulfill the mission that the Father sent Him. That He may die on the cross so that we may be saved from sin. From our disobedience to God's words. And we become the delightful, blessed people of God. So now we walk in his footsteps and we long what Jesus longed for. And we align our desires with Jesus' desires in walking and delighting in God's words. So church, why should we delight in God's words? If you're looking for a reason, you need to hear this. See, words are like windows to our hearts. Jesus says in Mark 7 that what is in our heart comes out of our mouths. Similarly, when we pick up our Bibles and read God's unadulterated, pure, and without deceitful words, and when we look into our Bibles, we get to see the heart of the Almighty God. From the first stroke of the first page to the last full stop, all we can see is a heart that delights in us. A heart that loves us so much that to the point that he sends his only son, the true blessed one, innocent, blameless, to die for us. So that we become the blessed ones of God. Even when we are in our disobedience and sinfulness. This is the only way that leads to life, the way of God's words. And when we are exposed to God's heart for us in his words, and see our sinful hearts and lives, and then we see how much God's done for us, and how much God has loved us through his son, and when we see the impossible task of bridging this gap for us to become the blessed people of God, the only response is praise the Lord, isn't it? God, you are great. This is the response of the Blessed One. When God's word enters our heart through the Holy Spirit, we understand his delight for us. Even when we are so sinful, the work of the Holy Spirit bubbles out with delightful worship and praise when we understand God's love for us in his words. It's like having the first scoop of your favorite ice cream. You take that first scoop and you say, so good. So we delight in God's words and sing with the psalmist here. Come with me to sing with the psalmist in verse 13. With my lips, I recount all the laws come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Church, delighting in God's word leads to delightful worship and praise. Dear brothers and sisters, let nothing rob us from delighting in God's words. Sing with all your heart. Lift up your voices to our great Father, for he loves you so much. Let me leave you with this one application. Read the Bible. If you're someone who is exploring Christianity, let me encourage you to read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They are the biographies of Jesus' lives. And it's a great place to start. We have copies of these Gospels, or you can take the whole Bible from that back wall there. Or if you would like, we would love to read the Bible with you. In fact, as Michael mentioned before, we are running a Life Explored course, which runs for 7 weeks, where we look into God's different characteristics and understand his heart more. We are down 2 weeks already, but the course is designed in a way that you can hop on now as well. In fact, the third session is today at 12 p.m. here at church. Let me encourage you to take that step towards knowing God and gaining life. And for more information, you can contact one of our pastors, or our MTSs, Lingen, Sikh, or one of our mission teams or mission champions. Can I encourage you, at least get to know one of them before you leave today? For those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, read God's word. Soak yourself in it. Savor it. Let personal Bible reading not be seen as a chore. In the Old Testament, yes, it was seen as a chore because they were trying to become the Blessed One, trying to bridge that gap, which was impossible. But it's already bridged for us. We are already God's blessed people. If God's word is a window to his heart, we are not just to peek into it now and then, but we are welcomed by Christ to climb into it and let God's word shape every part of our lives, so that we have an undivided heart, that we may not be distracted by the ways of the world. A practical step for you, if you're going to the church camp, how about you start reading Deuteronomy so that you may enjoy and understand God's word even more? Or start reading 1 Corinthians, which is our next sermon series. Delight in God's word. Fix your eyes on Jesus and praise God for his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing better than that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we may know you, your heart. Thank you for Jesus. Father, may we desire your word and long to be like our Savior Jesus Christ more and more every day. May we long for your glory like Jesus longed for. May we long for your mission as Jesus longed for, to make disciples of all nations for your glory. Help us desire your word and bring praises to your name. In Jesus' mighty and everlasting name we pray. Amen.